This is 89.1 WEMU, and I'm David Fair. Domestic Violence Awareness Month comes up in October. However, the issue of domestic violence raises its ugly head every day, and in one way or another, it impacts every single one of us. There's a relatively new organization based out of Ann Arbor dedicating itself to proactively helping women suffering abuse, educating and creating awareness through the community, and advocating for more and better legislative and judicial protections. It's called Her World. I have two guests with me today. Ashton Steele is a corporate fundraiser for the University of Michigan School of Dentistry. She is the founder and president of Her World, and thank you so much for being here today. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
And Nicole Beverly, whose story of abuse, stalking, and threats of fatal action from her now ex-husband has drawn national attention. And welcome back to WEMU, Nicole.
Thank you.
Ashton, you two were in an abusive relationship, and one of the more common things I hear is that the survivors of these crimes never imagined it would happen to them. What went through your mind the first time that you were harmed?
Really, you just kind of block it out initially, and, you know, to kind of survive the moment, and then it's really in the wake of it, and like the weeks and months that follow, where you actually start to kind of relive the experience, recognize the trauma and the severity of the situation, and that's really when you start to process it and deal with it, and it is hard to believe that it happened to you, and I felt that way as well.
How long did you stay in the abusive relationship?
I left after 8 months, and then I went back because I was being threatened that if I didn't come back, he would take my child. So I went back, and within 3 weeks of returning to the relationship, he almost killed me. If it weren't for a neighbor looking out her window at the moment that she did, I would have been dead.
Some of that sound familiar, Nicole?
Absolutely.
So not only did both of you undergo these intense and harmful relationships and impacting your relationships with your children, but then you both got into a court system that wasn't necessarily favoring your rights to basic human protections. Does that sound about right, Ashton?
Yes.
And Nicole, same thing?
Yeah, in a lot of ways, the court system enables our abusers to continue to abuse us through litigation.
In your case, Nicole, the death threats continued even while your ex was in jail as he tried to hire a hitman to kill you and the sons you share. It's been a years-long process to keep him in jail, and last we spoke, you still didn't feel safe. Where does all of that stand today?
I'm at the point right now where I feel I'm not dwelling on my safety risk, but I'm also not being naive. And I am fully aware that he could potentially be trying to hire people again from prison to kill myself and my children, and also that he has even less to lose. I'm also preparing, as my youngest son is a sophomore at Lincoln High School, mm-hmm. and he'll be graduating in 3 years, planning still to leave the state for our protection and to change my identity so that my ex is not able to find me once he is released from prison.
Because your ex did go to jail, you were able to keep custody of both your children. Ashton, you did not have the same good fortune. Your family has been torn apart by this, despite the fact that there is evidence you were the victim.
Yes, I have two daughters. One lives with me full-time. She's 4. She's thriving in her preschool program. I also have a little girl that will turn 10 tomorrow. For 9 years, she lived with me. She was thriving in school and in sports. And now we're not even allowed to see her or speak with her. She lives with the man that she watched almost kill her mother.
Now, people who are listening are going to say, well, we don't know his side of the story. There must be some reason. What would he say in his defense?
He would say that all of this is fabricated on my part, that I've made all of this up, that I am living in a false reality, and I've created this narrative because I am, you know, psychiatrically compromised, and that this is something that I've, you know, invented, and that, you know, having my daughter is something that, you know, he was so fortunate to be able to accomplish, and, you know, he's so grateful that his family had the funds to hire the lawyers to do it. And you know, it would definitely be a story about, you know, justice was served and my daughter is safe, and I fabricated all of it.
Now, you went through a whole series of doctors, each of whom individually and in some cases collectively diagnosed you with post-traumatic stress disorder as a result of the attacks upon you. And the court system chose to ignore that medical evidence, thereby allowing for the family separation, right?
Yes.
And how do you overcome a judicial system that will not allow for medical evidence to be put into the record?
The judicial system is in need of an absolute reform. These are things that I am working on, as a concerned citizen and as a victim. I'm currently working with state and local legislators to develop a judicial training that will potentially be made into law. That any judge that oversees cases that could involve domestic violence will actually have training. The judge in my case didn't have family law experience. He also was not elected by the people. He was appointed by the governor several years ago to fill a seat after the person that was in that seat was disbarred due to felonious activity in another court. He has no family law experience or any domestic violence training. He also isn't a doctor. But yes, he did overlook many different medical reports and the diagnoses from many doctors. Even in court, I was having trouble breathing. I was asking for help, and he said that it was a theatrical performance and that it was basically annoying and cumbersome to him. Because the judge believes that I have made all of this up, my ex-husband has been successful in bringing him over to this narrative that he's created. I was denied ADA accommodations multiple times.
This is 89.1 WEMU, and we're talking about dealing with domestic violence issues with the founder of the Ann Arbor-based Her World organization, Ashton Steele, that's the voice you just heard, and with domestic violence survivor and advocate Nicole Beverly. All of these issues that have come to the fore are what inspired you, Ashton, to create Her World. So what role do you see the organization playing in addressing domestic violence moving forward?
Originally, my goal was to employ full-time attorneys to take domestic violence cases and bring them through the legal system, giving them the justice that they need. Unfortunately, domestic violence survivors are never able to hire attorneys to actually fight their cases the way that they need to be fought, and we don't have a whole lot of case law for them to stand on anyways. I learned very quickly that even if we hire attorneys to take these cases on, it's not going to do a whole lot of help, because at present we're still dealing with cases that are being presided over by judges that are not trained to understand the dynamics of domestic violence and litigation abuse when it's happening right in their court system, right in their courtroom. Also, the laws are antiquated. Most of the laws in relation to domestic violence and the child custody issues that come up after were from the 70s, and they haven't been updated. So in order to be successful, we have to change the laws.
And Nicole, a lot of your advocacy work is aligned with those very goals and objectives that Ashton has just discussed. You focus on putting in place more protections and resources for victims and survivors through legislative and policy change in law enforcement offices and through that judicial system. Among the issues you're pushing locally is really on the educational and awareness side of things. You want police to start conducting lethality assessments. Now, where does that stand?
Well, I've been working with Safe House and the Washtenaw County Sheriff's Department for the better part of the last year and a half in attempts to develop this lethality assessment, and we're starting to the progress is picking up again. And my understanding is that the police chiefs from all of Washtenaw County will be meeting in September to go over the proposed lethality assessments and recommended training that will go along with the assessments, and we'll be voting if we will be moving forward with implementation countywide, which is fantastic news. And I'm very optimistic that the chiefs will vote in favor based on, you know, all of the research and evidence that's shown us in other states and other counties that are using them, that they are saving lives.
Yeah, it adds a layer of protection that does not currently exist. And the two of you recently met with Republican State Senator Peter Lucido to push for legislation ensuring survivors are afforded more security through total address confidentiality. Nicole, what exactly would that bill do?
So The initial address confidentiality bill was proposed back in 2017, and unfortunately it passed. It did pass a Senate committee vote, and then it was tabled with the governor elections. Well, it has now been reintroduced, and we're hoping it'll go back to Senate committee. And what the bill would actually do is protect victims of domestic violence and stalking and sexual assault who qualify for the program, basically a P.O. box where all of their mail would be sent to. Their driver's license would be protected. Their state licenses would be protected under this address confidentiality program, so that it would make it much more difficult for their abusers to find them and locate them once they leave.
And I know that State Representative Rebecca Warren and State Senator Jeff Irwin support this measure. Ashton, has there been feedback from the rest of the lawmakers in Washtenaw County?
Yeah, everyone is very supportive of this package of bills. I think we have, in general, very strong bipartisan support. This is something that the survivors need in order to, you know, it's one thing that will help them remain safe, but also it's very easy to find somebody, and it's very hard to hide. So it's a disempowering process for the victim, and it's an empowering process for the person that's trying to find them. And this would help change that dynamic and make it harder and disempowering to find people, and a little easier and more empowering to be able to protect yourself.
It has been intimated to me in the past that it is much easier to pass legislation that would protect animals than it would to protect women. Nicole, feel that way?
I 100% feel that way. And, you know, looking at the bills that have passed in our state in just the past 5 years, it's very, very evident that the number of bills protecting animals by far surpasses the bills that are actually protecting victims of domestic violence and stalking. In fact, you know, from the research that we've done, we can really only find one bill that has passed in the last 5 years that actually protects victims. And ironically, it actually involves pets. And adding animals to the definition of domestic violence. So, and meanwhile, you know, we're seeing, and I just want to clarify, I do love my dog. I have nothing against animals. I love them, and I do believe that they deserve protection. But I also believe that victims of domestic violence and stalking deserve the same protections. But multiple animal abuse bills, including livestock, have passed in our state in the last 5 years. We're actually waiting on the final numbers, but at least 10. Compared to the one for domestic violence victims that included animals. So, you know, as survivors and advocates, a lot of us joke that the best way to pass legislation is for us to add animals into any bill that we're trying to develop to protect humans, because it seems to be the only way to get things passed through our legislation.
That's no joke at all. And Ashton, as a survivor of domestic violence, how does it make you feel that perhaps they're in the public consciousness, or at least the legislative consciousness, there might be a greater desire to protect animals than you?
Yeah, it's something that I have to live with every day. So, you know, I try not to dwell on it, and I just try to change it. You know, I also love my dog. I grew up on a farm. I love animals, but I also believe that survivors of violence deserve the same or greater levels of protection. And we don't get that. I live in fear of my life every single day.
Once again, we're talking with domestic violence survivor and advocate Nicole Beverly and the Ann Arbor-based Her World Organization founder Ashton Steele. This is 89.1 WEMU. On September 17th, the two of you are to meet with a gender violence task force. Ashton, who's involved in that meeting and what is the goal?
So the Gender Violence Task Force is a subcommittee from the Progressive Women's Caucus in the state legislature. So there are several women that are members of the Michigan House of Representatives, and they bring in people from agencies like ours to come in and really talk to them about what they can do to, you know, create positive change in the area of gender violence. So we are really looking forward to that, and discussing the need for education in high schools, as well as education for the authority figures that are making decisions regarding the lives of survivors and their children.
Nicole, you've made educating in high schools one of your passions and missions. On October 4th, Lincoln High School is going to host a Purple Out Domestic Violence Awareness event at the football game. But you're turning this into more than just a show of support, aren't you?
Absolutely. I'm passionate about prevention, and I truly believe that the only way for us to affect change and to reduce domestic violence in our state and our country is to educate our young people about the red flags and warning signs and what to do if they find themselves or one of their friends either in an abusive relationship or start to recognize signs in themselves that they perhaps are abusive. So as I'm passionate about that, you know, my goal is to get into as many high schools, middle schools, colleges as possible to educate our young people. And I've been very blessed to be involved at Lincoln High School. This will be our third Purple Out. This year we will be, our opponent is Jackson High School, so I will be presenting at both Lincoln and Jackson High School about domestic violence. And we will be selling t-shirts that this year's profits will actually be going to Her World, which I'm really excited about. And then on October 4th at the game, our cheerleaders, football players, student section, everyone will be wearing purple, and the game will be dedicated to victims of domestic violence who have lost their lives in our state. And this year, I'm collecting data, so I will be conducting pre- and post-surveys of all of the students that I'm presenting to across the state to demonstrate that these presentations are giving them the information that they need to hopefully avoid these domestic violence relationships. And the ultimate goal is to have enough data collected that we can move to statewide policy that domestic violence, dating violence education would be mandatory in high schools across the state of Michigan.
Well, it'll be nice that some of that money is going to Her World. Now, Ashton, the first annual Her World Gala and fundraiser is taking place Saturday, September 14th at the Standard Bistro and Larder in Ann Arbor. It will run from 7 to 10 p.m. What can attendees expect?
They can expect a really good time. We have a lot of entertainment planned. We have a lot of special guests that will be coming. Nicole will be speaking there. We have a lot of members of Michigan's legislature that will be attending, as well as judges and people that are running for open seats. We have a good number of survivors that will be in attendance. There will be a really great silent auction. We have had donations pouring in from all over Ann Arbor for the silent auction items. So people can, you know, expect to show up, have a really great time, and learn a few things that they probably didn't know about what life looks like for a domestic violence survivor.
Well, to find out more about all of these events and the work that Her World, Ashton, and Nicole are doing, check out our website at WEMU.org. We'll have all the resources and links you need. Ashton, Nicole, thank you so much for the work you do, and thank you for the time today.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you, David.
That is Ashton Steele, and she is a corporate fundraiser for the University of Michigan School of Dentistry and founder and president of Her World. And Nicole Beverly is a domestic violence advocate. I'm David Fair, and you're listening to your community NPR station, 89.1 WEMU-FM and WEMU HD1 Ypsilanti.